I'd like to share some lines from a poem by Anne O'Reilly. These words will never carve your image out of bog oak, but that is what they want to do, to dig down into the moist wetness, to touch the layers of century that have made you woman, goddess, saint, to see your shape emerge intact from the ancient earth. O beautiful vessel, still intact, where we have unearthed you, remind us of your many manifestations and let us smile again. You who turned back the streams of war, whose name invokes still the monsters in the sea, whose cross remains a resplendent, golden, sparkling flame, come again from the dark bog and forge us anew.
She'd make printed crosses and give them to the farmers, and they'd hang them in their cow sheds. They'd want one or two. So this year started in Forehead School, where we'd start making crosses for all the farmers and our families around.
Maura Lennon grew up in Forehead in County Louth. The shrine at Forehead was one of her childhood play places. As an adult, Maura has always had a tremendous connection with Forehead and with Bridget. She is one of the members of the Bridget of Forehead Festival team since we began in 2008. She is an amazing cross maker and loves to teach cross making to children. And she is centrally involved in all the rituals that we do throughout the Celtic year.
The centre of the universe is right under our feet when we take the time to centre ourselves.
Mae Coyle, originally from the west of Ireland, has lived in North Louth for many years. She's been a spiritual teacher for over 30 years, using art, music and dance to free the spirit, to celebrate life in all its wonder. She has a particular interest in ancient Ireland and how her stories, myths and artefacts can reawaken us to the beauty of our being. Mae has been part of the team leading rituals celebrating Bridget and the Festival of Imbolc for several years. My name is Dolores Whelan and I'm here with Maura Lennon and Mae Coyle at the Beech Grove at the top of the shrine in Forehead. All three of us believe that this is one of the oldest parts of Forehead and has a very magical feeling. And I'd like Maura to say a few words because Maura is the person who grew up around Forehead. And so we'll hear what Maura has to say about this part.
Well, I was born here in, 77 years ago. And when I look back on it, we had a magical childhood in those days when it was just after the war and there wasn't much. But we were as children, we were sheltered from the worst of the war. You never heard, it wasn't spoken of too much. We had a German refugee girl in Forehead School. And at this time of the year, it comes to mind because we all had to learn Silent Night in German because she was there still in Nacht and I could still sing it in German if I could sing. I remember we were so blessed with our teacher, Miss Rowan, because she taught us so many crafts, but she taught us in a way that it was just a priceless childhood. We knew the name of every tree, the colour of every bird's nest, where the birds came every year. We could see if we found a little bird in the ground, you knew the cuckoo had visited that nest. The boys would climb up to see was there any little birds left in it. And we'd bury there. We'd have a little ceremony where we'd dig a hole and we'd pray for the bird. And we knew the field so well that we could step in here from where we were up at the well and walk from the well just down through the fields. There was one field just across from where we were this morning up at the well, and there's a slope going that way down the field, even though the hill is going the other way. And I remember us lying there, maybe 8 or 9 of us, on our backs on a summer day, sucking the honey from clovers. Oh, wow. And just looking at the clouds and seeing the pictures in the clouds. And I remember as well, somebody just lay back and started rolling down the hill. And we all rolled down the hill without saying, and like a flock of, the way the birds gather and up. And we knew the name of every tree and every bird around here and had the most wonderful childhood. But Bridget was really a part of us all. We called it the stream. Nobody said, let's meet at the shrine. We'll meet at the stream or meet at the well. And it was nearly, I think Bridget was nearly like God, in because you went to her for, if you'd done something wrong, you went to her to pray not to be found out. Our parents, which I continue myself, in later years when we became teenagers, she'd say, Bridget, you know, put your cloak around that one or that fella. I can do no more with them. I did it with my teenagers as well when I see them. You were blessed with Bridget's water going out in the morning and blessed with Bridget's water before you went to bed. And it was just, I think when I look back, and I wish my children had the freedom and knew as much about nature as I did, you know, that we really had a lovely time around here.
And that whole integration of Bridget into the daily life of children and of the people of this area is partly what has allowed the Bridget tradition of Fochard to grow and be sustained in this area. I mean, I grew up in Cavan. I went to boarding school. I never heard of Bridget, really. I was only when I came to Dundalk that I, and not even when I came to Dundalk, a long time after I came to Dundalk, that I actually began to connect with Bridget. But that childhood stuff that you're talking about is just so magical, really. And so that's a lovely memory. And I'm just thinking of May growing up in the west of Ireland. Maybe you'd tell us a little bit about your childhood and your connection with Bridget.
Well, listening to Maura and just hearing the sound of the lovely sound of the stream, I've gone down memory lane as well. And I'm in this area for over 46 years. I grew up in Athenry, which is very, very similar to Fochard, but it took me a long time to be aware of that similarity. Athenry has a lovely well. Again, it's not called Bridget's Well, it's called Lady Well. But now I know that Mary and Bridget are the same, because the Irish for Bridget is Muirin an Ghaol. I loved going to the, I love nature. I was lucky. My mum and dad came from farming stock, and they also loved nature. So I came to Dundalk with that love of nature, but probably as idealistic and as so idealistic. And I had actually no time for Fochard, because it was associated with Bridget. And again, from my childhood, Bridget was the one who plucked out her eye to make herself ugly so that she wouldn't have to marry somebody that was chosen for her. And I thought, how I loved, always loved combing my hair and wearing lovely clothes. How could you make yourself ugly? So I took that story literally and kept Fochard at a wide berth for a long, long time, until I became wise enough to be able to marry story, and maybe now that I look back on it, it was probably psychology. And I can see again, I was had a tragedy in 1976. My second little boy, Thurlock, died. And then I really went into the depth of all those stories and the depth of symbolism, even the Bridget's Cross. And Maura is adept at making Bridget's crosses. You have to straighten and you have to bend. So bending and stretching. And that is the whole story of Bridget, who was born here between sunrise and just before sunrise, between the north and the south. And she is that. She's able to weave. She is masculine and she's feminine. She's assertive and she's gentle. So I have absolutely fallen in love with her, and fallen in love with Fochard. And I also realise that Fochard radiates that lovely energy to where I live, down at the seashore in Balorgan Point, where I can watch the sun coming up, the winter sun coming up, those beautiful mornings, and just that whole thing of going down and coming back up, death and rebirth. And when we become in touch with the mystery of birth and death, we have breath, which is, the breath is dying on the out breath and being born again on the in breath.
Bridget of the sunrise, rising in the morning, rising with the springtime, greeting all the land. See you in the soft cloud, see you in the raindrop, see you in the winds of change.
I love this place where we're standing now. The stream goes right down past the Stations of the Cross, which is another awareness. So again, weaving the the mystery maybe of the Tuatha Dé Danann, the lightness of the Tuatha Dé Danann, and coming to Christianity, and that too is a mystery. So marrying the two tradition.
And I think I'm the baby in the whole connection with Bridget, because I think it was about 1992 that I came here first. I found an entry in one of my notebooks that I had created, began to do a ritual for Imbolc. And for me, Bridget, I didn't have any history with Bridget. So when I came, it was very, very new to me. And I came, I suppose, as a bit of an innocent, but I love this place. In Christian story, we celebrate Bridget as Saint Bridget, and she is associated with Imbolc, the festival at the beginning of spring. But in the older tradition, there are three forms of the divine feminine, three forms of the goddess. There's the maiden, which we celebrate at February, Lá Éile Bríde. There's the mother, which we celebrate in the summer. And there's the cailleach, the wise crone or the hag, the tough mother that we celebrate in the time of winter. Connecting with Bridget, the cailleach, the wise, dark feminine energy that brings us right in to that womb that May referred to, so that we can be reborn at the winter solstice, and that the new light will emerge at Lá Éile Bríde. And when Bridget's Day comes, we say that Bridget is the energy that breathes life into the mouth of dead winter. So she brings the spring. Bridget brings the springtime.
And she was approachable. She was. She wasn't like Our Lady, the Our Lady of my Catholic upbringing, that was so far away, and she was so perfect that she wasn't. She wasn't really a model for me. No. So I'm so glad that I can see the connection now between Bridget and Muireann an Ghael and Our Lady. Seems to have taken up a lot of my childhood. I am also thinking that on a deeper level, it could be getting rid of one eye so that another eye would replace it. So it's the inner eye. Again, Dolores mentioned the intuition, and that we break patterns. We don't have to be the same as everybody else. We follow our destiny. We have enough trust to follow our destiny. And I'm thinking of the lovely story when she was cheeky enough to go to the King of Leinster and look for a plot of land to build her convent. And, of course, he laughed her away. But then she said, just give me enough to cover my cloak. And she put her cloak down, and it spread and spread and spread. And she got exactly what she wanted. Now I see that cloak as, look, her whole energy field, all the beautiful colours of the rainbow. Mm. And the rainbow, as we know, is a bridge from darkness to light. So,
yeah, lovely, man.
One of the traditions, just before we go, that we still do is, on the night before St. Bridget's Day, we put felt out on the bushes and to represent her cloak. And we cut it in, and anybody and our rituals, we give them a little square of the cloak from the year before. From the year before that, you know, we still have it for all our rituals through the year. And it's a lovely thing, you know, even when we were young, that this, if elderly put their shawl out that night, that then that was a healing thing for, you know, when they put your arm around your child, you were putting Bridget's cloak around it when they used to wear the shawls. It's a lovely, some beautiful traditions here, yeah. Really traditions. Like, it was just part, when I was just thinking of May and Dolores going into the deeper things about the stories, we just kind of accepted that this was all true, that it was very real to us, and that if somebody was called Duffy too in school, they were told, because her father was Chief Duffick, it was told that anybody that was called Duffy, and we didn't have too many Duffys in Forward actually, where could have been a descendant of Bridget's father. And you know, we just took these things as God's truth, as it were. You know,
The gift of a place, that's the gift of a childhood growing up in connection with the history and the locale of the locality, because I didn't grow up with that and May didn't grow up with it either in the same way. So the gift that the people of Fochard have given to the world is the continuity of the richness of Bridget. And I think being out here now every year for the last 25 years, this is where I come to when I have a problem. I come here, I walk around, I ask Bridget for wisdom. I ask to be able, and sometimes I stand with one foot on either side of the stream, because that's that piece where, you know, she was able to have one foot in each on each bank and let the situation flow with the water. And hold, because one of her great gifts was that she trusted enough to allow whatever was happening to happen, knowing that in time it would resolve. And I, that's the biggest gift I've gotten from Fochard, because I would have been quite, you know, very need to fix this, sort it, you know, now. And didn't understand the need for patience, because things have to, I might not be the only person involved in this situation, so other things have to shift. And standing with one foot on either side of the stream and asking for the courage that Bridget had to hold what's called the creative void, which is what the Cailleac holds in the wintertime until it can be resolved. That's the biggest gift I've gotten from Fochard.
Bridget was there for the mothers if there was a somebody having a baby. You know, you go up to the shrine and get some, get a, fill that bottle with holy water. Or there would be a thing called a kris, a kind of a belt that would be handed. There would be, you'd be getting it wrapped up in paper and you'd be told to bring that down to Mrs. So-and-so. And you nearly knew that you'd expect a few days later to see the nurse coming, Nurse Murphy coming with her black bag, and we knew the baby was in the bag. This little black, like, oh, there's going, she's going to get a new baby. The nurse was pulling up on her bicycle, you know, with her black, yeah. With her black bag. We were just so
and that
innocent.
Was the birthing,
and
yeah,
that was the birthing belt, yeah, that someone would pass it on to from house to house.
I often think of what Patrick Kavanagh says. It's what the imagination does to things that makes them great. That could be just a stone, or it could be a stone that has a whole world of magic woven into it and from it. And I just want to show you this stone over here. This is called the waste stone, but I actually don't think that's what it is. If you look at it, at this, I see it as a birthing stone. It's a birthing stone because Bridget is hugely associated with birth, with new life. And everything that is creative comes from the feminine. And we're sitting now on this stone as if we were in the birthing position.
Opening your heart to the love and light within. We through your body.
After Christmas, the year started with making the crosses, because you'd make Bridget crosses and give them to the farmers, and they'd hang them in their cow sheds. They'd want one or two. So this year started in Fochard School, where we'd start making crosses for all the farmers and our families around. Then it was you had to look out for the first primrose, and you knew the one Bridget's day was over. Spring was here, even if the snow, and I'm to still to this day, spring for me starts on St. Bridget's Day. Even if you were wading up to your knees in snow, it was spring. You know, there was a change of, and you really believed there was a change of energy.
Now that Maura mentions the seasons, I think it's, the three of us here are very involved at the ritual at the beginning of each season, honouring the Celtic wheel, and it's heartening that we're getting back to again that grounded spirituality, where we are very much in touch with nature. We're opening, we're allowing our minds to expand into the mystery of being alive on this beautiful planet.
And I think that for me, one of the things that's so important about Bridget is that she's a threshold person. So she's the energy that can hold us when we are in transitions. And right now we are in a huge transition. And we're on, the planet is on a knife edge. And the only thing that will help us is for us to be able to become comfortable in places that are in between. Sean O'Dinn, who was a great teacher of mine and he died recently, he talked about Renewal, the god of the elements, and talked about how the divine energy was displayed all over the world as in the different shapes of what was manifested. But it was this idea that we and that God was to be found everywhere and we were part of that everywhere. And therefore, there was no separation between us and the divine. John Macquarie, who was a great Celtic scholar, he says the other world was always transmitted by something in this present physical world. So, and again, is how do you find your way into that deeper place? You find it by being present. You find it by being in the moment. And it's to do very much with what's very popular at the moment, the whole concept of mindfulness. While it's lovely to remember all of the stories of Bridget, for me, the most important thing is how do I live with the energy of Bridget guiding me? And this is a question for our listeners. If Bridget asked you to become a flame bearer, the holder of a Bridget light in our world today, and if you said yes, what would that ask of you? How would it affect your lived priorities? And how would it support you to live your deepest truth and bring your gift into the world? We're not here to fulfill other people's ideas about what we're supposed to do. We're here to live our truth. And in the ancient Irish tradition, there's a concept called Dan. And the Irish word Dan means poem, destiny and your gift. So the question is, in the way that I make my choices about my life, am I fulfilling my Dan? Am I living my truth? And am I bringing my unique gift into the world? And Tom Hamill said, since I put my mind on God, I never took my mind away from God.
For me, it's the gift of absolute presence aligned again between heaven and earth, trusting to be more and do less.
And for me, it's the mystery of the whole place. When people try say that logically you can't believe that, I say no, but spiritually, you know, there's a mystery somewhere about the whole place and I'm happy with that.
Bridget of the mantle encompass us, Lady of the lambs protect us, keepers of the hearth kindle us, beneath your mantle gather us and restore us to memory. Mothers of our mothers, foremothers strong, guide our hands in yours, remind us how to kindle your heart, to keep it bright, to preserve the light, your hand upon ours, to kindle the flame both day and night. The mantle of Bridget about us, the memory of Bridget within us, the protection of Bridget, keeping us from harm, from ignorance and from heartlessness, this day and night, from dawn till dark, O Iha Gahiha.
I'd like to thank you for listening to the programme, and I would like to thank our contributors, Dr. Mary Condren, Dr. Alison Lennon, Father Tom Hamill, Maura Lennon and May Coyle, and a special thanks to Anne MacDonald for her beautifully inspiring music.
During this programme, we used incidental music from Michael McHale from an album called A Place Between and music from Lawlu's Bridget's Kiss. We thank Alan Byrne for recording and editing this programme.